Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Rabotai, people interested in sources, there are additional source packets here. May all just leave something on the table here. Today, of course, is Shavasa B'Tammuz. Actually, yesterday was Shavasa B'Tammuz. Today, we observe the fifth of Shavasa B'Tammuz. And with that, we usher in a period of Avelus, a period of mourning for Klal Yisrael that culminates on Tisha B'Av in 3 weeks from now. And this Avelus is referred to in the language of Chazal as Avelus Yishana. It's an ancient period of mourning. It's a mourning event that happened a long, long time ago. As contrasted with Rachman Lutzan, when a person loses a relative, God forbid. So that's a period of mourning known as Avelus Hadoshet. Avelus is when it just happened. There are a number of different differences between the two. It's interesting that when you think about Avelus Yishana, the ancient Avelus they're observing starting now, the Avelus starts off less intense and becomes more and more intense. And now we have the 3 weeks, and then in a couple of weeks it'll be Rosh Chodesh Av, we'll have the 9 days, and then Shavuot Shechalbo, it's a question we have that this year or not, because Tisha B'Av ends on Shabbos, but Shavuot Shechalbo and Tisha B'Av itself. So the Avelus, the morning, kind of increases in intensity. And when we have the Avelus of Avelus Hadoshah, God forbid, after the death of the relative, it's kind of the opposite, right? The most intense Avelus is right at the very beginning. And then, you have some distinction in the first 3 days and the rest of the days of Shiva. Then after the Shiva is the Shoshim, after the Pantheon of Beis Chodesh, the Avelus decreases in intensity. It's an interesting distinction. You can probably figure out why that's so. But when it comes to Avelus Yishana, we're observing events of so many years ago, so we don't feel the intensity of the Avelus right away. We need a period of time to get used to it. So we have the 3 weeks, we have certain limitations, then come the 9 days. Then we're ready for Tisha B'Av itself. Where, God forbid, if the death of relatives, the most immediate is what's right away, is the most immediately intense feelings of mourning, and then you have to kind of work your way back into society, so it works the other way around. There's other difference in Avelus Chadosh and Avelus Yishana, but one of the sort of identifying features of Avelus Yishana, of Avelus Chadosh, of a personal Avelus, after the death, God forbid, of a parent, is the recitation of Kaddish. So I entitled the Shiur Kaddish on the question of its recitation by women because I really want to focus on two issues. One is the Kaddish itself, and then the question of its recitation by women because I think there's a lot of misconceptions around exactly what Kaddish is all about and where does it come from and why do we say Kaddish altogether. I'll begin by pointing out that if you look in Kaddish, in any Kaddish you find, you will not see a word about Avelus, not a word about death, not a word about mourning, not a word about parents, or nothing. I mean, you look in any English translation of a Kaddish, and you won't find anything in any of the... people come over here. Bring the chairs over, everyone. If you want, just come over here. Bring the chairs here. You can, okay, wherever you're comfortable. Wherever you're comfortable. So, again, any Kaddish, the only Kaddish where there is the reference to Chiyas HaMeis in the so-called Kaddish Yisharata, that's the Kaddish that's recited at the actual funeral, at the burial, that Kaddish. And we also say it at the time of the Siyam. We say the Kaddish, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the deceased back to life. But the regular Kaddish that's said at the end of davening, this one is during davening, again, nothing about mourning, nothing about sadness, nothing about death, nothing about parents, nothing. So the question of what exactly is Kaddish all about? Before we discuss whether women should or shouldn't say Kaddish, or anybody should or shouldn't say Kaddish, it's worth knowing a little bit about what Kaddish is about. So I present it as the departure point, and the first of the sources, if you have the sources, there's some papers here, maybe some, were there the extra papers? Yeah, there's some over there also. You don't need them, you don't have to follow it, just it helps you to use it. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi, by the death of Yaakov Avinu, it says in Bereishis Parak Memtes, pasuk Lamed Gimel, Parshas Vayechi, source 1, Vayechal Yaakov Letzavos Esbonov, when Yaakov completed his last will and testament to his sons, it says, "Vayesof Raglov El Amito." He gathered his feet into the bed where he was lying. Vayigva Vayosef Alavo. He expired. He died. Okay. So actually, it never uses the word Vayomos, which is the standard word in the Torah to signify that somebody's passed away. It says Vayomos, you died. And Yaakov Avinu never says that. So Rashi and Chumash in the second source, Vayigva Vayosef Umisa Lo Nemrubo. Lo Nemrubo. The word Misa, the word death, is never mentioned with regards to. With Yaakov Avinu, but Amar Rav Hosein Zalman Chazal have a puzzling comment. Yaakov Avinu lo meis, since he never says the word misa, never says the word death with regard to Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yaakov never died. Rashi didn't make this up. Okay, it's the Gemara in Tainus, in the third source. Hey, I'm in days. Rav Nachman of Yitzchak Habiyas and Sidoso. Omele Rav Nachman of Yitzchak. Lema Mar Milsa. Okay, there's a couple of Rabbanim were sitting at a table and chatting, and they one asked the other, this is Dvar Torah. So anyway, what was the Dvar Torah? Hachi Amar B'Yochanan, the second line, Hachi Amar B'Yochanan, Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis. This was a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Yaakov never died. So that's a very puzzling statement. What do you mean, never died? He's still alive today? How could that mean? And Rashi says there in Tainus, on Hayamid Beis, doesn't say this in the language of the Chumash, but in source number four, on Hayamid Beis, Rashi says, Lo Meis, Elachai Hu La'olam, he lives forever. So I'll interrupt because the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You have psukim, it can't mean literally. Yaakov Avinu never died. It cannot possibly mean that literally. Because if you look in the continuation there in Parshas Vayechi in the next parak, in source 5, parak Nun, it says, Vayitzav Yosef, parak Pasuk Vayit, Vayitzav Yosef es avodav es harofim, lachanot es aviv, he was embalmed, Yaakov, right? It was, by a little later, Pasuk Yud, Vayavod, Gor, Natar, Asher, Bever, Adin, Vayisvedu, Shom, Mispeh, Godol, the family brought his body to Eretzol, they made a big hesed, a big eulogy for him, okay, and eventually in Pasuk Gimel in source 5, he was buried. He was buried in Maros HaNapela. So he was embalmed, and he was eulogized, he was buried, obviously cannot mean literally, Yaakov Avinu didn't die, it doesn't make any sense, and that's what the Gemara asked back in 3, on the second line, towards the Amalai, V'chibichdi, Sofus, V'adanam, Chantu, Chatanam, V'kover, Kivaya. What's that all about? If he literally never died, what's it about? That he was embalmed and he was eulogized, he was buried. It cannot mean that literally. So, you look back in source V again, the third line. Omar Lay Mikroni Dorish. Okay, this is a drasha. Okay, Shenemar Vatal Tira Abdi Yaakov, Hashem Vatechas Yoki Ni Moshiachok Merachok Merachok, Bezaracha Me'eret Shavim, Shavim, Makish Huli Zaro, Mazaro Bechaim Afu Bechaim. Of course, I don't mean to say that Yaakov Avinu never died. Of course he died. However, as long as his descendants are still alive, in a certain sense, he's alive also. That's what I mean. It's a drasha. Right? It's a homiletic message. As long as his descendants are still alive, right? Because it says, I'm going to bring them back from the land to which they've been exiled, etc., etc. Okay? And in a certain sense, he's still alive, right? They thought he was dead, but in a certain sense, he's still alive in that his descendants and his progeny remains alive, so in a certain sense he remains alive as well. And source number 7 is the Maharsha, and that Gemara in Tainus Hey Amid Beis. The Maharsha wonders why, if that's the case, why does the Gemara say this specifically about Yaakov Avinu? Why Avram also? And Yitzchak also? Why? And by them it does use the word Misa. So why is this Drusha, Yaakov Avinu Lo Meis, which we just said is not meant literally, but meant to symbolize the fact that his descendants are still alive and well. So if his descendants are still alive and well, in a certain sense, he's still alive and well also, because they're carrying on his mission, etc. Why does it say that by Avram Yitzchak? So the Maharsha, we won't read it inside now in source 7, but the Maharsha says that, look on the fourth line, if you want to see it inside, part of it, Damai Nochid Yaakov Tvei Avram Yitzchak, Devagavadag Amheim Lo Meisim and Ever, their spirit, their souls also lived out. Why does it say? So he says, because, since it's dependent upon the children, well, if we think about it for a moment, Avram had one son who didn't follow his way. That's Yishmael. Yitzchak had a son. Esav also didn't follow in his path. Yaakov Avinu had, it's also Shlema. Yaakov Avinu, all his children followed in his path. So that's why it's indicated by Yaakov, because Yaakov was the only one about whom we could say that all of his children followed in his footsteps. Then the Maharsha gives a different answer. We have to note that Avram and Yitzchak both died in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov died in Egypt. Right, Yaakov was down in Mitzrayim when he died and had to bring his body back. So therefore, by Avram Yitzchak, you don't have to say Avada they lived on. They died in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has a different status. But to Yaakov, we needed the extra push because he died in Chutzlars. But in any event, what you see from this Maharsha, we see from this Gemara, that as long as a person's children continue his ways, so then in a certain sense, that person has never died. That's the background. Now what's interesting is, if you look in source number 8, the Targum Yerushalmi, it's one of the Aramaic Targumim, different people are familiar with Targum Unklus, Targum Yonasim and Azil, Targum Yerushalmi. I'm not going to go into the difference now, the bigger experts around this on this than I am. But on that Parsha, in Parsha's Vayechi, which talks about the death of Yaakov Avinu. So before he died, Yaakov Avinu was giving his last bracha. Those are remember Parshas Vayechi. Some people used to have to memorize those brachas when they're in elementary school, like the brachas of Yaakov, his children, Reuven, Bechor, Yaakov, etc. So, So you look at there, so right before he began to deliver his brachas to his children, Yaakov Avinu felt that the Shekhinah had departed from him. God's divine presence departed from him. And he thought, well, maybe God's spirit departed because just like my father Avram had Yishmael, and my grandfather Avram had a Yishmael, and my father Yitzchak had an Esav, maybe one of my children is also not following my path. Okay? And he looked in source 8, it's in Aramaic, but it's easy enough to understand. Ana Avun Yaakov Amon Avram, Avun Avram, my father's father, come in a peaceful Yishmael. It was a disqualified son, so to speak, Yishmael. And Chol B'nei Ketur, the other B'nei Ketur, the other children of Avram we had later. V'yitzchak Abba, come in a peaceful Esav Achi. Right? And I'm afraid maybe some of you don't believe in God either. Some of you are not following that path. So what did the brothers, the sons of Yaakov, the brothers answer? So they said, the end of the second line of 8, Shema Minon Yisrael Avuna Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the Aramaic translation for Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What did they say to Yaakov? Shema, his name was Yisrael, right? Shema Yisrael. Listen, our father Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We all believe. No, none of us are departing from your direction, from your path. We all believe. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael. Rebbe Yisrael, right? Our father Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We all believe. That one God, and we believe is our God, until we all believe. And Yaakov was relieved to look at the end of 8, last line. Ana Yaakov, he was so delighted, so thrilled to hear this. Ana Yaakov, and Omar, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'Omei Omei. Right? Sound familiar? That's in Kaddish, right? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach. That was Yaakov in Aramaic. That was his response to hearing that all his sons indeed committed to belief in Shema Yisrael HaShem HaKen HaShem Echad. So he responded by saying, oh, Yehei Shmei, which means, may the great name of God be praised or blessed forever and ever. Yehei Shmei, Rabba, Racha, Olam, Amen. A little slight variation, but basically the exact phrase that we say during the Kaddish. Incidentally, I didn't print on the papers, but the Gemara in Psachim, and Afnun Vav, Amud Beis, the Gemara has the same story, but in Hebrew. This is in Aramaic. It has the same story in Hebrew, and the response was, of Yaakov in Hebrew, Yehei Shmei, Rabba, the response was, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed, which we say, right, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed, which more or less means the same thing as Yehei Shmei Rabba Baruch Olam, it's the same thing. Okay, what Yehei Shmei Rabba Baruch, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso, right, Baruch Blessed is the great name of God, and so on, Le'olam Ve'ed, forever and ever, Olam Ve'ed. It's just more or less an Aramaic translation of that phrase. As a side point, you know, if you look in the Chumash, in Parashas Vayechanan, we'll read it a few weeks after Tisha B'Av, so that's where the Parsha of Shema is found. So that phrase, Baruch Shem Kedot Malchusolo, does not appear in the Chumash. It's in the Chumash, it's Shema Yisrael HaShem HaKen HaShem HaKad, V'Avdor HaShem HaKad HaKad. The phrase Baruch Shem Kedot does not appear in the Chumash. And that's one of the reasons we say it silently. Right? We say Baruch Shem quietly, we leave that Yom Kippur for now, but generally speaking, we say it silently. You may take questions, then it doesn't care. Say as long as anyone wants to take questions. But we say it quietly. Actually, the Gemara discusses, should we... On the one hand, Yaakov Avinu, according to this message, said it, so we should say it. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave us the Torah, didn't say it. So we have a compromised position. We say it, but we say it quietly. That's Baruch Shem. Yom Kippur is a different story, other reasons. But by the point being that that phrase, Baruch Shem Kol Malchusolo Olam Ve'ed, was Yaakov's reaction, or in Aramaic, Yehei Shmei Ram Baruch Olam Amayim. Okay? Now again, it has nothing to do with Avelus per se, but it does have to do with children committing to the derech and the belief and of the parents, the ancestors, and those who came before them, and that was Yaakov's response to Yehei Shmei Rabba. Now, it doesn't indicate anything in these sources that an ovel, a mourner, should say that. It's just something which Yaakov Avinu said. But nevertheless, at least it's a first source, an early source, for the whenever the Targum Rishami was, but it's an early source for the concept of this phrase, Yehei Shmei Rabba. There is, in source number 9, Masechtas Ketanos, there are certain Masechtas, we have a full set of Talmud and so on, we have the Gemara, but there are certain Masechtas called Masechtas Ketanos, so-called, in English some called them minor tractates. It's not really part of the Gemara per se, it's somewhat later, but there's a Masechta called Maseches Sofrim, okay, and a paragraph test of Maseches Sofrim, Halacha Yud Beis, again, it's not as early as the Gemara. I stress that the Gemara never mentions anything about an ovel, a mourner, male or female, saying Kaddish. It's not in the Gemara. There is a reference to Kaddish, a different Kaddish, but not to, or Kedusha actually, we'll come back to that, but the Kaddish that we say, there's no Gemara, no Mishnah, no Tosefta that speaks about saying Kaddish, a mourner saying Kaddish, but there is a reference in its Maseches Tanis, which is an early source, Maseches Sofer and Perek Yutes Halacha Yud Beis 9, Avelim, La'achar sheyigmor hachazin tfila shel Musaf, at the end of Musaf, we're talking about Shabbos Yontif, Avelim after Musaf, Holech la'achore delas shel Beis HaKnesses or Bepinas HaKnesses, would go to the door of the shul or to the back corner of the shul, Umotze shom Avelim b'chol HaKrovim, and the mourners and other relatives are there, V'omar aleihem bracha, and it would say some sort of a bracha, doesn't say what it was, V'achakach omrim kaddish, omer kaddish. So there we have a source for an ovel, a mourner, reciting kaddish. Okay? This is in the Masechta Sofa. It doesn't say. Yeah, the ovel. Okay? Yeah, it's true. But anyway, achakach omer kaddish. And he says, "Ain omer ba'omod osis chadata," that's the other kaddish, ela al-talmud wal-adarshan, only after seeing for some other occasion. Anyway, that is the source of kaddish. But where does it come from? Who, what, what's the source? So actually, it's true. It looks like Chazan said it. I'll stress the point. In that text of the Masechet Sofer that we have to give the message we're saying, it looks like the Chazan says it in front of the Avelim. So it's the Chazan who says it. But again, it's a somewhat of an obscure reference, but now we come to something which actually is more obscure, a very fascinating passage, which appears in the Rishonim, the Or Zeruah. Or Zeruah was a rabbi in Vienna. He's one of the first, the Rishonim actually had a shul. Okay, and in those days they didn't have Rabbonim and shul, or a tenor, whatever. But the Or Zeruah in Chelek Beis, Hilchos Shabbos Sim Nun, tells the following story. Fascinating story. My Sefer Rabbi Akiva. We have our Akiva spelled in the Bavli with an Aleph. Rishonim though spells it with a Hey at the end. Anyway, my Sefer Rabbi Akiva. He came upon somebody who had a very unusual experience. He was unclothed and he was blackened, with soot, like a person who works with like a smith of some sort. He was dirty. He was carrying on his head and on his shoulders extraordinarily heavy weight. He was running as fast as a horse, back and forth. And finally, goes over to Kiva, and he stopped him and said, "What is this? Loma ta'osa avoda kasher. What are you doing? Im eved ato, if you're some eved, v'adoncha osa lecha, kach ani eftos chom yado. If this is, you're a slave of somebody, and your master is making you do this horrible work, let me know, and I'll go and I'll buy you out. I'll buy your master out. I'll get you out. You can't. What kind of word is this? What kind of work is this? Vim ani ato. And if you're just a poor person, you only can make a living. I'll get the money. You can't. What kind of a strange carrying this heavy weight and running around like a mishugah like this?" So he says, "Don't hold me up," the guy said, "because those who are in charge of me are going to get angry." And he says as follows. And we have to see, was this a vision? Well, we don't exactly know. It's a strange story. He says, "I'm a departed person. I'm dead already. I'm the soul of a person in a body right now, but I've died already. And b'chol yom shochim osi lachtov etim, and my punishment in Gehenna, my sentence, I was not the best person, my sentence is, I've got to go every day and chop trees, all day long chop up wood, and at night they throw me into the fire, and they make a fire out of that wood, they throw me into the fire, and they burn me, and the next guy to do the same thing." So he had a pretty terrible sentence, so to speak, in Gehenna. And Rabbi Akiva asked, "What did you do in this world that you deserve such a horrible punishment in the next world? What did you do?" He's out as a tax collector. And I gave a break to the rich people, and I would kill the poor people, or give the poor people a hard time, and so on. And therefore, I have this terrible sentence. So Rabbi Akiva asked, "Is there any way out? You've suffered now, your body, your soul is suffering. Is there any way out of this horrible sentence that you have?" So he said, "Well, I heard, there's nothing I can do really. Why? Because I heard, if this person will have left behind, will have a child, who'll go and leave the tzibur, and he'll say, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavorach, and they'll answer, Baruch Hashem Rachel HaMavorach. In other words, we should take a moment. What happened in the Chazan says Baruch Hu? The word Baruch Hu is in effect an invitation. Baruch Hu es Hashem Avarach. You, please bless the blessed God. And we answer, okay, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, we bless God. So that, it's really, it's a back and forth, right? You know, it's that kind of a, it's a responsive prayer. The Chazan says, Baruch Hashem, Baruch, please bless God. And it says, okay, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Or the same thing, okay? Oh, Omer Yisgadol, right? And Be'onin Achav Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorah. Okay, I'll take a moment to say, you know, a lot of times the mistake, it's not the end of the world, but it's not really correct. And the Kaddish also is responsive. Because when you say Imru Amen, basically you're saying Imru, you, the team, will say Amen, right? So we say Amen. Or Imru Amen, Yehei Shmei Rabba, we answer, it's responsive. Sometimes the tune doesn't really lend itself to that. Okay, so for the Chazan to say, and everyone goes, Amen. It's not really right. Okay, because it's really he's supposed to say, the Chazan is supposed to say, in some places, the Chazan is careful to say, that's more correct. Again, I'm just saying it's a big deal about it, but technically it's the more correct because he is inviting, the Chazan is inviting the tzibur to say Imru Amen, okay? And again, it's whatever. Most of the tunes are not lend itself to that way. But all right, the Chazan was careful. We'll try and do that. All right, no need to make a big deal about it. Speak to your rabbi. But anyway, this mace said to Rabbi Akiva, I heard that if I would have a son who would go ahead and lead the tzibur in blessing God. And he'll say, Yiskar Avisan, and everyone will answer him, Yehei Shmei Rabba, may the name of God be blessed. He'll leave the Tibur, then I'll be freed from this sentence. However, he said, okay, the truth is, when I died, my wife was pregnant. Okay, I don't know, you know, she had a baby, who's going to teach him? We weren't religious, and so on and so forth. Okay, and therefore, I don't think I'd ever have a way out. Says the Orzeruah, V'osa Shah, Kiva Lebe, Kiva Lele Cholachapei. But Kiva took it upon himself to go and find out what, you know, who this guy was, and did he have a son, and what can I do? And anyway, so he found out that Kiva took it upon himself, and he went to find him and wanted to teach him Torah and put him in front of the tzibur. And Kiva found him, sure enough, and the child, now an adult, didn't even have a milah. It was so far away from Yiddishkeit, didn't even have a bris milah. Kiva arranged we should get a bismillah, four lines to the bottom, the limdo Torah, the kriyashma, the yurchas brachas, the birchas hamazon. So Kiva sat with him and taught him how to daven and how to say birchas hamazon and kriyashma and then taught him Torah and so on. And eventually, hamidol is now called the Omar Baruchus Hashem Amvorach. This person learned enough that he led the tzibur. He said Baruch Hashem Amvorach. And everyone answered, Ano Hakol Baruch Hashem Amvorach Amvorach. And Yiskalav Yiskalav and Yehesh Merabah and so on. And that makes that the deceased, the person who had that terrible sentence, was indeed freed from the sentence, and so that was the story of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now the very end, the Arzur writes in the last line of 10, the chain matzah mar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Maizer Rabbi Elazar warns the ton de Be'eliyahu Rabbi the kot nama yisgadol matil ava mina puramas. Okay, that a child who says yisgadol sort of saves his parent from this terrible sentence, even though the parent may have deserved. What's the idea? Even though the parent may have done X, Y, and Z in this world, but self kol self, if the children are saying Kaddish, so now the deceased neshama can say, maybe I did bad things, but look, my son is leading the tzibur, he's praising God, he's not only just praising God, he's leading the whole Olam, he's leading the whole kol in praising God, that's got to stand me in some good stead, and so on. That's the story in the Oros HaRuah. Another Rishonim have it also, the Master of Victory, source 11, the Master of Victory, a Machzor Vitri is an early work from the Rishonim, the base medrash of Rashi. It's not a Machzor like Yom Kippur, Machzor. Machzor means, you know, the cycle. Right? It's the cycle of the year. The Vitri is a sitting for him. So the Machzor Vitri, it's in Kuf Mem Dalad. He says, Ma'aseh Rekiva, and I don't read the whole thing. He tells the whole story over. Okay, I don't have to read it again, but look at the very end. He says in the last line of 11, Valkein Nohagu, Lavor Lifnei Ateva Motsoi Shabbos, Adam she'ein lo ob o ein lomar baruch lekach. You know, Machzor Vitri quoting again, a Machzor Vitri from the Talmidim of Rashi. Okay, so the minig, at least not he records, the minig was that somebody who doesn't have a father or mother leads the tzibur on Motzoi Shabbos. On Saturday night, last night, why Motzoi Shabbos? Because the Medrash tells us that even the mason who suffer in Gehenna, they get a reprieve on Shabbos. They're freed on, you know, they get a break on Shabbos. And then on Motzoi Shabbos, they go back to whatever the sentence was. Therefore, the minig is, first of all, we kind of delay in some places, you know, right now I'm an Avelis myself, so I try and do the Say Behu Rachum, you know, we kind of drag it out a little bit. You know, you say Behu Rachum a little slower than you say it on a Tuesday night, you know, so give the Mason a few extra seconds of reprieve. But in any event, so but on Motzei Shabbos, they go back, so that's why, says the Machzor Vitri, so they find somebody who doesn't have a father or mother to lead this people, and that's not Minik, of course, as well, should say Baruch Hu and say Kaddish. And the idea is we have this comment, Bro Mezaka Abba, the child can bring his chus to the parents, and so on. Okay? In the Sefer Chassidim, the Sefer Chassidim has nothing to do with the people referred to today as Chassidim, you know, from the Baal Shem Tov, and the Sefer Chassidim is from one of the Rishonim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid. There were certain Rishonim were known as the Chassidei Ashkenaz, in English, I think, in history books, the German pietists. Okay? So one of them was Rav Yehuda HaChassid. And he wrote a work called Sefer Chassidim. So this is, again, this was several centuries before the movement that we know of today, the Chassidim and the Misagim and so on. So he also has this in Tav Shin Chof Beis, Echad Chola Lamus, V'Hamavakesh Mihudi Echad Shalamid Adal Kaddish. A person was sick and he was dying and he asked a fellow Jew to teach him. Apparently he wasn't observing, he asked a fellow Jew to teach his son Kaddish and so on. And it says, Mitzvah, he Lamdo Kaddish, V'Lomah Kaddish Leben HaMeis. Of course, it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah to the child to learn Kaddish and say for the parents. So again, the Machzor Vitri called it a came Nahag at the end of 11. We look in 13, Orchas Chaim, one of the Rishonim, also in Hilchos Ovel, Osman and Aleph, he calls it a Takona already. Am Takonas HaKaddish, Sha'omer Al Aviv Al Imo. The reason behind the Takona of Kaddish, which people say for the parent, okay, so he, again, the language of Takona, the Tiknu Zal, again, it refers a little bit to the story without all the details, but he tells the same story. And then look at the last line, the last three lines, really. V'al zeh poshat ha-minig lomar b'no shomeis kaddish basro. Kaddish at the end of davening. After Leno, after the Yom, the kaddish at the end, that's called kaddish basro. Kol yud beis chodesh. The 12 months, the year after the parent died, right? Because after other relatives die, you only have the avelus for 30 days. But after the parents, you are for a full year. So the whole Yud Beis Chodesh, the child says Kaddish, and also Lahafdir Benovi. That's not our meaning, but they call up another for that, Mahafdir Benovi. V'yesh mispal v'chol motzei Shabbos tfilas arvit, v'fisha v'osa shah chozen v'sham l'gehenem, sheshavsu v'shabbos, different minhagim. You see, from these we've shown him that the evolving of Kaddish was different minhagim. The motzei Shabbos was Kaddish Basra, it was a takona, it was a minig, right? There's something that evolved that way. And the Sefer Kolbo and some Kufya Dalad, which is sort of a synopsis of the Orchos Chaim 14, Balmasha Nimsa Ba'agoda. He says it's found in a medrash. Pam Achas Poga Rabbi Ploni. He doesn't say Rabbi Kiva, he made a difference. There's a certain Rebbe came across this person and so on. So anyway, we have this notion of Kaddish. Alzeh Pasha Minig Lomar Ben Oshomeh Kaddish Basar Ka Shneim Osar Chodesh. So these are the practices, these are the origins. Again, very, very strange kind of origin. A story that's not in the regular Midrash. This story of Akiva is not in the regular Midrash that we have, the Midrash Rabbah, the Tachuma. It's some source. In fact, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this din appears in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Avelos, Yerideas, in Shin Ayin Vav, 15, Siv Dalet, Ramah, right? The Nims of the Midrash, it's in the Midrash. Lomar Kaddish Allah, to say Kaddish for a parent. Exactly what Midrash, I don't know. But in the parenthesis, they give some sources. We'll see in a second. Alkei nog lomar alva in kaddish basi yud beis chodesh. He quotes these different minhagim. Okay, ukshabein mispalel, kishabein mispalel, umekaddish barav and po the other v'imo minagehenim. And as we said before, when the child leads the tzibur and saying a heishmei rab and saying baruch hu, that redeems the parents left the shama if they got the bad sentence from Gehenna. The Bir HaGro, like he always does, the Vilna Gaon has a comment on the Shulchan Aruch called the Bir HaGro. He always tries to tell you what the sources are. But here he struggles also. He says, in Imtza the Midrashas, in Tukot and Vov, in Shinai and Vov, okay, he writes, Nimtza Midrashas, what does the verb mean? Nimtza Tanchuma Parshas Noach. It's in the Medrash Tanchuma Parshas Noach in Masechet Kala, and it's quoted by the Menorah Samor. The Gro is, astounding the Kiyas, but he does point out, Avo Eino B'Tanchuma, it does not appear in our versions that are extant today, the Gro's writing in the 1700s, does not appear in Maseches Kala there. And he knows, because many things were lost and were missing from these sources. And he quotes another source, Tanu de Beilio, Maisa B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai. It wasn't a B'Kiva, it was B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Right? It was somebody else. Okay, in our Maseches Kala that we have in source 17, again in those Maseches Kalas, Maseches Kala Bosi, Perek Beis, Toshma the Bekiva, Nafal Vasa, again he has the story with the Bekiva, but in the Tana Be'ozua, Zuta, printed in source 18, Parashat Yudzayin, Amar B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Whoever it was, okay, it was one of the great Tanoim, whether it was the Bekiva, the B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Again, it's not in the regular standard Midrashim that we have today, but people who are scholars in Midrashim know that things are missing, and texts are problematical, and so on, but it does appear in early stories, early sources. We take a look, moving to more modern times, the Binyan Sion. Yeah.
In the story, it seems a very native experience there,
Right, we hopefully our parents aren't sentenced to that kind of Gehenna. But I guess you'd have to say that even this horrible sentence, what were you going to answer for? I took out a question from up there. Is it relevant to... If you want, I'd rather take questions at the end, but if... okay. I want to be fair to everybody. I want you to look, it's a good aura. Anyway, if you look in the Tshuva's Binyan Sion, Surah 19, that was written by Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who was one of the great German poskim. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Shamshon Fol Hirsch, one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Shamshon Fol Hirsch. Tshuva's Binyan Sion, those who study yeshivas, the Aruch Laner, which is a sort of a yeshiva shachon shesefet that many people learn in certain sections, was written by him. Anyway, his Tshuva's Binyan Sion, Simon Kukhov Beis, the relevant is called Binyan Sion. I'll digress for a moment. It's very interesting. There is a there was a plan that some people had in the 1800s that thought it would be a good idea to purchase the place with the Beis HaMikdash, the Har HaBayis. They had a whole proposal. I think they were going to go to Rothschild or somebody and get them to put up money, and they should buy the... they didn't realize it was a mosque there, and they wouldn't sell it probably. But all right, they had this idea, and they wanted to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That was the plan. They were going to, if they knew there was a mosque, they had to move the mosque a mile or two down the road. They want to build the Beis HaMikdash and so on. So there were a number of achronim of the Gedolei HaPoskim at that time were consulted. Can it be done? And it was halachically. Let's assume we're able to acquire the land. All things are pipe dream. But let's assume that we can acquire that area. Could you build the Beis HaMikdash and bring korbanos today? What are the halachic issues? So the different people, the Kivega talked about it, some Sofer talked, all the great Gedolim, so the mid-1800s, so the 18-something, I'm not sure exactly here. But the Rav Ettlinger, so the first several tshuvas in this work, he was addressing this issue, that's what's called Binyan Sion. That's why he called this tshuvas. He called many other tshuvas at other topics. The first few tshuvas, what was dealing with halakhic issues, how do we find out who are really Kohanim, and can you have the trailers for the big day Kohana, and then Korban, or whatever. Okay, anyway, so but that's not our topic today. Look in Simon Kuf Chav Beis. So he tells the story, Hare Mashahar B'Chalom, right? This whole story was a dream. It wasn't a real story. Bekiva, whoever it was, had a dream, and it wasn't a real event. It says, Huzka B'Medrash, and so on. So he said it's interesting because just historically, he says it has to have been talking about Baruch Hu, not about Kaddish, because Kaddish was instituted in Bavel. So for Bekiva or B'Yocham and Zakkai were the protagonist of what Kaddish? Who Kaddish? Okay, there was no Kaddish yet. Kaddish is in Aramaic, and it was instituted in Bavel. That's what he quotes. Maybe some form of it. Baruch Hu is mentioned in the alluded to in the Mishnayos already. Haparis HaShma, and so on. Baruch Hu is already in the Mishnayos. Okay? But anyway, so that he deals with that just from a historical point of view. But he says the whole thing was a dream, and he says that Osa Ben, this child, became a Hamachachar, and Nachma Pankuli, and he wants to say that the Malas, the Kaddish, is even greater. Okay, it was even greater because somehow Rabbi Kiva figured this out. Anyway, it's a great thing. All right, now, but who says the Kaddish? We talked about children, right? Children. So what do I mean by children? So the Maharil, who was also a great German posek earlier, Chonin, Yaakov Levy, okay, the Maharil is one of the important Ashkenazic poskim. Many of the Breuers in Hagen. The Ashkenazim are based on the Maharil. And it's called in the Ramah quotes all the time. The Tshuvas Maharil, HaKadosh, Simon Kof, Ches 20. The Kaddish Hazeh, Nitzkan, Achar Psuki, the Rabbah, Lazim, Rechanina, Achar Shir Malas, right? We say like on Shabbos, right? And the kid says, Laman Achar, right? That we say Kaddish. That's what he's referring to. Or Achar Shir Malas, we say certain Kapitla Kapilim, or Achar Drushas, and so on. And he says, this is the key line. By Yisomrim, the orphan, the Omrim also, with Yisheen Yecholim Lomar Baruch Hu, Ellen Kainasa Gogol. Listen to this. A significant difference. The Rayleigh Lewis, I've been seeing it at Mariel's earlier. Mariel says, who says this Kaddish? It's kids under the age of Bar Mitzvah because they can't serve as a chazan. A kid under the age of Bar Mitzvah can't say Baruch Hu because to say Baruch Hu, you have to have a min, you have to be over Bar Mitzvah. So he says, the Hayasomim, the Minikhtanim, orphans, Nebuch, whose parents lost their father or mother, Omrim Osul, Ein Yechol and Lomar Baruch Hu, Elim Kenasa Gadol. And the Kuli Kaddisha Amata Kantra Bonanino of other Kaddishim that are in the davening, let's say that what we call the Chati Kaddish introducing Baruch Hu, or the Kaddish Shalem after Shemoneh Esrei, we call it Piskabel. That's part of davening that the mourners don't say. Every Chazan says that, right? Let's say you have a Shminyan and there's no mourners. We still say Chati Kaddish before Baruch Hu, or Mincha. Chati Kaddish right after Ashrei, that's nothing to do with Avelim. The Kaddish Sholem, that we say Piskabel, after, like at the end of Musa, or at the end of Shachris on Shabbos, or at the end of, right before Aleinu on a week, that's said with God, nothing to do with Avelim, that's part of the regular davening. That's said by whoever the Chazan happens to be, whether he's an Obed or Zanam, the parents are alive, the parents are alive. It's irrelevant. That's part of davening. That's Dover Shemachova. The Chazan has to say. Aval Kaddish there, this Kaddish was stuck in at the end of davening, after Aleinu, or after learning, and so that's not really part of davening per se. So therefore, Kaddish there, lav davar shebechovu, hilchach yecholim ketanim la'omar, therefore, someone under Bar Mitzvah can lead the tzibur. And he says, the story of Rabbi Akiva, he quotes, refers to the story of Rabbi Akiva, okay, and he said, on the other hand, or some say, Rechon and Zakai, Yehesh Mei Rabba, so some people, Mihai Tama Nami Nirali Da Filak Dolim, Kapti Tvea Kadishos and Yosem Mishar Kadishos. It became, like you said, it became so ingrained that people are more makbid to say, Avelim, are more makbid to say that Kaddish after Aleinu and after Abishmal or whatever, after learning, than the main Kaddish. Okay? And he says, I don't think that's right. He says, Ain't Daiti Maskemis, that's not right, that's not correct. Ain't Daiti Maskemis, and the other Rabba. The other thing is a part of davening. In other words, am I real saying it's a bigger thing to be the chazan and to say the kaddishes which are part of the davening, chati kaddish before Shemoneh Baruch Hu or mincha before Shemoneh Esrei or kaddisham. That's the main. That's more important. This other kaddish, what we call the kaddish yosom, the so-called mourner's kaddish, that was to be available in case some kids or whatever who weren't old enough to be bar mitzvah. Okay, so and that's the same they say for Agur, one of the Rishonim also. He says, he quotes from the Maharil, Nishal Gadol Hadom or Yaakov Molin, that was the Maharil's name, Yaakov Molin. Echa Minei B'Kaddish Yosom, and so on. He says, why is it called Kaddish Yosom, and why did kids say it? And he gives basically the same answer, right? He says, and the truth of the matter is, the issue, the Ogre is doing an interesting issue, which touches upon a different point, because people might sure know that I follow that practice. But, you know, they ask, what if you have somebody who's visiting the shul who wants to say Kaddish? And there's a member of the shul who wants to say Kaddish. Who gets Kaddish? So that whole question makes no sense. Who gets Kaddish? They both say it. But the original minig with regard to the recitation of Kaddish was that only one person said Kaddish. Only one chazan, only one yosom after Aleinu said Kaddish. In fact, in some communities, including in Broyers, that's the minig to this day. To this day, if you come to shul in Broyers, the gabbai says, you say the Kaddish, he tells this guy to say the Kaddish, you know, before after Rabbi Shmuel, and that guy says the Kaddish after Moshe, and this one says the Kaddish after Yom, and that one says the Kaddish after Leinim. Only one person says Kaddish. And some places like that have the minig. I follow the minig myself. That's not the widespread minig in Kaisel today, but maybe the Chazon Ish seems to do that way. But anyway, that's what the Ogre is dealing with, who has the rights and so on. But in any event, he's also clearly talking about the Kaddish that is recited, by kids, by youngsters under the age of Bar Mitzvah. As you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Yorach Chaim, in Kuf Lamed Beis, source 22, Sif Beis, the Omrim Kaddish Yosom Achar Aleinu, we say the Kaddish, the Ramah says, we say the Kaddish after Aleinu, Vafilu Ein Yosom Reis HaKnesses, if there's no mourner in the Shul, there's no one in the Shul to say Kaddish, and many Shuls, our Shul, many Shuls around here follow that practice, so someone else who doesn't have a father and mother, it's not Avdol now, that father and mother died 20 years ago, whatever, would say that Kaddish also. Okay, and technically even someone who does have parents could say it and so on. That's now you're not supposed to have so many Kaddish. I mean, some communities, I'm not criticizing, some communities, they want to give more people, more Kaddishes so they learn a line of Mishnah after the whole davening is over. They'll say a Mishnah, you got one line, and go, okay, Shkoyach, it's got a Kaddish, now they'll say another Kaddish. Another guy will get up and they'll say it's another din. They'll say, You know, so the joke of a person came to one of these shuls and they kept saying Kadeshim after, and the Vilna Gaon makes a big deal, other make a big deal not to have more than X number of Kadeshim. I'm supposed to keep saying Kadesh. And so this person, three or four people in a row, learned two lines of a Mishnah, two halachas like that, and they said, Kadesh, 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 now. So this guy, hey, you know, the din is, it says in the Vilna Gaon, based on Shofar, you're not supposed to say more than X number of Kadesh. Kadesh, 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 now. But anyway, but in any event, that's what's on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, in Sivkot and Yud, and that's in Kuf Lamed Beis. He says, really, you don't have to say Kaddish. Shaharei LaOlam Tzichel Amar Kaddish After On Pesukim. So say Kaddish after Pesukim, and Aleinu also says Pesukim. You know, the second half of Aleinu. So you say Kaddish after Aleinu. He says, because sometimes there are kids who can't leave the tzibur. Oh, and the Mishnah Berurah throws in. Oh, if you look at Dolim, sometimes adults who are not comfortable being the chazan, they're not comfortable with their Hebrew or whatever it is. There are people who are adults over the age of Bar Mitzvah. But, and they're in Avelis, but they're not comfortable being the Chazonim. They don't. They're not a good voice, so they don't care for. And whatever, they make them nervous, so it's fine. So that's who the Kaddish is for, right? Or adults, that's who the Kaddish is. Now, the question is, so that background, all that background, can come up, what about women saying Kaddish after the death of one of their parents, God forbid? So, again, I stress from the beginning, there's nothing going to be in the Gemara about it, because the Gemara doesn't talk about Kaddish altogether. We have this thing developed for kids and so on, okay, and then it evolves into something that people are even more careful about than the main Kaddish, which the Ma'aril already said doesn't think that that's the correct approach, and it's better to be the Chazan. But anyway, so there is any distinction in terms of Avelis. Obviously, in terms of these, God forbid, it's sitting shivily Avelis, women have to observe all the dinim the same as men after the death of a parent. There's no difference father or mother here. The Ma'ariv Vayel has a tshuva in Siman Yud Gimel 24. Again, it's not relevant today because of where we have communication. One time, though, you know, people who live far away couldn't out of communication. Today, you can communicate on Rachman Islam. When somebody dies, everyone knows about it in 10 minutes. It's on Facebook. It's here. It's there. But one time, it was an issue. But let's say somebody lives far away. Would you have to go and rush and tell them that the parent died? They're not going to be able to come back. Transportation was difficult. It was a different world. Okay, so the Ma'ariv Vayel discusses if there's even an issue, yes, should you run and make sure they know within 30 days they can sit shiva, or it's not relevant, it's not easy to get in touch. That's what he's discussing, again, not so much today, but he does mention a distinction here that if it's a son, you have to let him know because he has to be able to daven for the yomid. With the women, you don't have the same rush, of a levono, same minute, they're not going to daven for the yomid anyway. So whenever they'll find out there's no rush, so to speak. Again, an issue which wouldn't come up today, but it's in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's in the Tov Beis, if you'd be, it's 25, okay? Misha Meisma Meisma Lo No Dolor, some relative died, you didn't find out about it, so you have to run and tell him. You don't have to run and tell him, okay, whatever the discussion is, I don't go into that problem, right? You can't look. If the person asks you, male or female, father, oh, you come from that town, and my father, mother, still alive, you don't have to lie and say, oh yeah, it's fine, you don't do. But okay, anyway, but with sons, you should let them know because they can look at the language, the last line, the Rambam writes in 25. Okay, for male children, you let them know they can Kaddish. There's no minig you have to go tell them. So from this source, it would appear that at least in the early, the minig developed was that only sons said Kaddish and not daughters. Okay? The Chavos Yoyer, an early Achronim, Yar Bachrach, so we'll skip 26, and soon Reish Aleph, he discusses this, he mentions also that they should tell the woman they should be able to see shiva. Okay, but look, the most important shiva, which really the first shiva that I know of that deals with our topic directly, is shiva Reish Chof Beis, number 27, the shiva is Chavis Yoyer. And he had the situation. Shaila, the shaila was a follower. Dover Zar Nasa to Amsterdam. Okay, something happened in the Jewish community in Amsterdam. Before some shows publicized there. She'echad Nedar B'lid Bein. A person died without leaving a son, only a daughter. Vitziva, the next week said, right? So anyway, Vitziva lifnei patiraso. So he left a word before his death. She yilmedu asora kol yom toch yudbeis chodesh bebeiso bischoram. He was a man of means. He said he was leaving money to pay 10 people to learn in his house every morning, the Acha Halimud Tomar Habas Kaddish. And after they finished learning, this daughter should say Kaddish. That was the Tavor that Lilith left. They got 10 people to learn. I mentioned before that the Kaddish Yosem is also decided after saying Psukim after learning. So he left money to pay people to learn. Time, I'm not sure. They would sit and they'd get paid to learn, and then afterwards the daughter should say Kaddish. Velo michubo chach me'akila v'aponosin, and the chachamim said, okay. They didn't say anything wrong with it. Okay, there's no debate. He left this will, so therefore the daughter can say Kaddish. So this is the earliest source that I'm aware of anyway. I guess the late 1600s, early 1700s, Chabad Zoyer, who has this tshuva about a woman saying Kaddish at the direction of her father, realizes no son to say Kaddish. And the chachamim did not object. He said, look, then they asked the Chabad Zoyer, what does he think about it? He was like, go so the Rabbanim answered and said it was okay, but someone asked him, what does the Chabad Zoyer think? So he says, I cannot bring Afki Ein Raya Listar Adav. I have no proof to say that this is wrong. Higam Isha Mitzubas Al Kiddush Hashem. What exactly is Kaddish we discussed, right? You're having people praise and sanctify the name of God. Yeheshmei Rama Chomer Kaddish. The words, Yisgadal Yisgadash, Yisgadil Yisgadash, Shemei Rabo. Means God's name be great, be made great and sanctified and so on. So that's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is always going to die. I think Kiddush Hashem is also to proclaim the greatness of God while living. Right? And that's women all think obligated. Okay? And you'll tell me you did a minion? Okay, they left the minion of men learning this. So she should be able to say Kaddish. And he said, and even though the story of Rabbi Akiva, which we said is the, you know, somewhat obscure mucker, somewhat obscure source for this whole concept of Kaddish, that story was with a male child. He says, okay, because that's what happened to me in that story. Okay, that doesn't mean it's only male children. He said, you can't bring a proof in the story of Akiva. He says, you could say that Gam Bebas, Yesh To'elas V'Nachas Ruach V'Nefesh Kizarohi. Right? With the daughter also, there'll be Nachas Ruach, there'll be, you know, coming for the neshama of the departed. It's his offspring, it's his seed. However, the Chabad Zoyer says, comes back to the possibility, he says, of weakening minhagim. The minig was never like that. Says the Chavis Yoyer, the custom was the woman did not say the Kaddish, even though technically there's nothing wrong. And he's concerned that if people begin to weaken on minhagim, so they'll weaken on other things also. That's his concern. Okay, and minig and minhagim are also a problem. And people are going to come and they're going to change this and they're going to change that and change the other thing. So he says he feels that it shouldn't be done. Not because of anything technically wrong, but because that was never the minhag, and especially in shul, he says minhag is all Torah, it's all chizuk. We have to strengthen minhagim. Our traditions are important, and therefore he said the public thing, everyone's going to know about it. He leads to say that it shouldn't be done. And the Piskei Tshuva in Yoredeya, the Piskei Tshuva is printed on the page in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya and on the other Shulchan Aruch, where he collects with the Achronim say the Piskei Tshuva, and that's Simon of Kaddish. Shin Ayin Vav in Siv Gimel, the cotton Gimel. He quotes the Tshuva Ayin Shuvah's Chavisor, Shekostav, he tells the story, Midina Yesh Lomar de Gambas Yesh Toilas Nachas Ruach Nefesh. Al-Pidin, strictly speaking, nothing wrong. The daughter also brings Nachas Ruach to the neshama of the departed. Except that halacha as well. That's in the Ashkenazi world. In the Sfardi world, source 29, Charles the Tshuva is Torah Lishma. That's the Tshuva of Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, of Ben Ishchai. His Tshuva is Torah Lishma. Imutol Isha Lomar Kaddish, this very question. Now, he was not, again, he lived in Baghdad, so he's not familiar with the Minhagim in Amsterdam. He said, but he had a similar story there too. Sheila echad lohelo bein kimbas achas lelo betziba korum tzoso shevo ches yud bnei adam. He had a similar story. Someone left the Savoa to bring 18 people to come and learn Zohar and Mishnayos, whatever they were learning. Kol yud beis chodesh b'yom v'leilos ve'achalim u'tamo bito v'tomar kaddish. Yihiyah salam donis, yodas l'motach. The young lady was also very knowledgeable. She's knowledgeable in Tanakh. And therefore, that's wanted to learn, and cannot be done. So he says, on one hand, Zavar Zen Nirat Zen, Zavar Chodesh is something new. We don't have it. What's the story? So he says, in his Tshuva, in the second paragraph, 29, he says, Torah Limchos B'Yod, I think we should not do it, okay? Because people will think that the Kashem, if they can say that Kaddish, so they can also leave the Chazan and leave the other Kaddish and the other parts of davening, which require a minyan, which is obligatory, and that it can't be. And therefore, again, he's concerned about mistakes and about the minhagim. But he signed the tshuva Hakatan Yechezkel Kachali. That was a pen name. I don't know the story. I don't know why he didn't say. He had other books he wrote, Yosef Chaim. Yosef Chaim Gemachi is a Cheskel Kachali. So he somehow signed the tshuva Torah Lishma. He didn't put his own name. I don't know why. Anyway, be that as it may, he also says that he's not a fan of this practice. The truth of the matter is that one can make a distinction, as some do. Okay. There's a lengthy tshuva from the Shus Yaakov, again, early Achronim, Chelik Beis, Simon Tzadi Gimel, where he has a similar story, okay? Nishalt in the second line, Niftar Ish Echol Elokim Shtei Bonos Kanos, the two little girls, one was over Bas Mitzvah, Golos Reni Bas Arba, I'm sorry, not over Bas Mitzvah, an older one was 4 years old, and so on, and he wanted the children to say Kaddish, and so, no, I'm sorry, so he wanted, similar thing, he wanted them to say Kaddish, the Beis HaKnesses. So he has a whole tshuva, and here we can make a distinction. Are we talking about in shul, or are we talking about in private? The Shus Yaakov says that in shul, okay, in shul, that's public, and that can weaken minhagim, and in shul, we have to be strict about minhagim. We have many, many examples of shuls that have minhagim, that we keep them in it, so it's not that, certain reasons may not apply anymore. We keep minhagim, especially in a public forum. You look at the last couple lines of 30, okay, he suggests that it's okay if they want to do it in a private minyan in the house. He says it's okay. That's what the Shul Yaakov writes. He says, okay? You do it in a house where it's not a public thing, but in shul, we have to be extra careful not to mix up minhagim because it's going to lead to confusion. People will fight about it. They'll become the old story, right? There's a certain Shabbos, and the question was, I don't know, maybe Chamisha Sabah, whatever it was. So should we say Abarachamim today or not? Abarachamim after the 4 months, right? After Lent. So we say Abarachamim. So there are different Shabbos, we don't say Abarachamim. So the whole argument breaks out. This one had a luach, and it says over here, we don't say Abarachamim. The other guy says, my luach says we do say Abarachamim. The other guy screams, submitting to the shul, they're yelling back and forth, they're screaming at each other, we say Abarachamim, don't say Abarachamim. There was a guest in the shul, and the rabbi just sent it. So finally, the guest in the shul asked the rabbi, so rabbi, what's the minig in the shul? He said, this is the minig. We argue about it. It's exactly the minig. So we argue about it every year. But anyway, the point being that and when it comes to shul, in all seriousness, we try to be very careful about minhagim. So he's already, and the Shari Tshuva, you look in 31, the Shari Tshuva, it's from Kuf Lamed Beis, that's the Siman of Kaddish, in Sivkot and Hay, I am Rishus Yaakov, Shim Ein Lo Bein Rak Bas, Lo Tomar Kaddish Rak Bebeis Ol. Okay, if you want to take Kaddish, you do it in the house. So therefore, we find that particular distinction. Okay, similarly, let's look at the back page. In the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch from the Chof Vav Siv Beis, Habas Ein La Lomar Kaddish Bebeis HaKnesset. We shouldn't have, the woman's daughter should not take Kaddish in shul, where we're especially sensitive. And by the way, again, this became even bigger issue, not about Kaddish, but even bigger issue once the reform in Germany began changing minhagim and shuls. Okay, it became a major issue. I mean, the whole issue with the organ in the shul, and the whole issue of moving the bima all the way to the front and not to the center and so on, and that the rabbi should wear certain types of uniforms like the priest. There was a lot of stuff that was done in the time of the reform to make the shuls more like the churches and so on. And the Chassam Sofer and the Malbim, many others, made stands on certain issues, which technically speaking, it's not the end of the world if you would, but they wanted to maintain them and hug him so as not to. There's a terrific story. We're going to find a terrific story about. I'll digress for a moment, but I think it's worth saying over because I said over a few times. Shmuel Talan was the Rav in Yerushalayim, the old Yishuv in the 1800s. He was the Rav for 70 years, a long time. And they used to have a chalukah. They used to give out money, collected money in Europe to support the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. There had no money, there no livelihood. So you've seen a Bate Ungvar, you've been to these places, right? This was the. And this was Kolo Romania, and this was Kolo Poland, and this Kolo, Maribel, and Eskon. They would collect money. Sometimes there was monkey business. Anyway, so Shmuel Salant went to Europe to meet with the Zelman Bear Bamberger, who was Robin Wurzburg in Germany. It's Adolf Bamberger in Germany, who was in charge of collecting from that area. and he came from Yitzhak to Shabbos. And he noticed that Yitzhak the Bamberg, that the Bimah was all the way in the front, and that he also, I think he wore some type of garb, and, you know, the head of Shul Salant all the lunch, he asked Shul Salant, that Yitzhak the Bamberg said, I'm sure you're wondering about a few things in my shul. He goes, oh, no, I didn't notice anything. Yeah, but let me explain it. You know, he said, when the reform, we're making a lot of advances in this area, okay, and I decided that if I give on a couple of issues, I'll be able to save orthodoxy and then the reform won't catch on. And I asked my Rebbe, Avraham Bing, who was also a great German Rav, I explained myself, I asked him that these things were okay to do, and he said, nevertheless, I fasted for 3 days and 3 nights before, and Davin and said, tell him if I'm before making these changes. And he said, I made these couple of minor changes, and indeed, Würzburg, historically, was the one city in German reform, had no influence. He was able to save orthodoxy. So these things, the changing that Hagen has to be done with very, very, very carefully inside of shul. So the Kitzur, and again, so that's what the Kitzur says, you shouldn't do it in shul. But others say, not even in shul. In the Sfardi, I'll finish in just a moment, 33, Mishpatei Uzil, his Chuvis, the Rabbi Rashi, and I think the second Rabbi Rashi, or Herzog. Okay, so he writes in his Chuvis, Chelek Gimel, Chelek Rashaim, Sim Yud Gimel. Okay, he quotes also that he doesn't think that it's we follow the old minute, we shouldn't change it. Okay, and he's against it. Okay, but I do want to mention the following: the Mor Avram, it's in Kuf Chavei. Okay, says how could you have not talking about Kaddish per se, but how could a woman say Kaddish? She's not the Shliach Tzibur, right? They're dinner the Shliach Tzibur. So. But again, today, and the Prima Gadam talks about that too, but again, today, we have many people saying Kaddish, anyway, in most communities. So it's not really a din in the Shliach Tzibur. I do want to point and take a look at the extra sheet in the back. It's not from the computer, I printed it out. So look at the first page. The Sefer Gesher Achayim. Sefer Gesher Achayim is written by Rabbi Shimon Lucha Tukachinsky, the Rav of Yerushalayim. It says additional sources. This is not on the computer, so I had to photocopy this heavily. So he writes in the Sefer Gesher Achayim, considered the one of the class of Hilchos Avelos. So Rachmanos Litzlan, somebody said in Shiva, some observing Avelos, that they look in the Gesher Chaim. So Gesher Chaim wrote to Rechil Mechut Tukashinsky, Chelek Alef Paraglamis in the Ches, where Iker HaToelas HaKadosh HaHu Bamiris HaBeno Ov Avimo, like he tells it to Rabbi Akiva, fine. Okay, and he writes, Yesh Mekomos Harbe Shemarshim Lo Loma Kadosh Yesh HaKnesses, Akivim Hishir, I'm sorry, the Lo Hishir Beno Abbas, Imiktana, under 12, many shuls allow it. I don't know what he's referring to, but he's living in Yerushalayim. Apparently, it was not so unheard of that the daughter would say Kaddish. Okay? And some say, Yesh Mashaloma Afilo Kaddish Acha and Telokenu. Okay, the Kaddish Yef Telokenu, and other places don't. In other words, even in the old Yerushalayim, apparently there were some places that allowed it and some places that didn't allow it. That was in Eretz Yisrael. In America, Rav Henkin, the Israeli old Henkin, he was in New York in the first part of the 20th century. He was sort of the unofficially, I guess, the chief rabbi of New York. Before Rav Moshe Feinstein came on the scene, he's older. So he has Chuvus Ibra, this early on. Hankin, Timdal Perk Aleph Sof Oz Aleph Alvar Kaddish, Imnara Yecholom or Kaddish, can a girl say it or not? He writes on the second line there, Zochrani Shevi Aldusi. I remember when I was a kid, Omra Nara Kaddish is now Hashem. I remember a girl saying Kaddish, the Kilish of Hasidim Yerayim, a fine, pious, God fearing congregation. Okay? And on the other hand, he says, Kalomer Kaddish, the Tibur Humein Hashat. But he says the mitamze egufa ain lidchos gamis hanaros because he came into the garum iskarbus liados. He's already talking. You know, there are people still true today. They don't come to shul. Then suddenly, God forbid, the father and mother dies. They come to shul every day. They say kaddish, and it's mekar of them. And I know, I'm not mentioning. I know many people in this community who never used to come to shul on Shabbos. You know, Shabbos. I'm not on Shabbos. I'm on a weekday morning. But then they started to come to shul and say kaddish. And then long after, they took another regular come every day. It's a fact. Okay, so he says, so it brings people closer to Yiddishkeit. On the other hand, he says, Omnam Roy Shetamim Mechor Mechitza. They should take Kaddish from the women's section in Mechor Mechitza. Okay, but in any event, I have to be careful, she shouldn't be the chazim. Any event, both in these sections, you have time to read it. Rav Henkin also does not seem to reject the practice altogether. Going back to the other sheet, we'll finish off. The Milchus Yitzchak, that's Shai Yitzchak Weiss, and Eder Chavedis in Yo, originally in England, and later in Eder Chavedis in Shalim, he quotes, he refers to Yosef Henkin, okay, that that a woman can say Kaddish in the Ezra's Noshim and so on, and he's not so excited about that. Okay, he does not think it's right. Okay. However, I do want to point out, look at 38, where Moshe Feinstein, talking about something else, writes in the Igros Moshe, Orachaim, Chelekei, Simon Yudbeis, Osbeis, 38, V'hinei v'chol hadoros, for many generations, Nogu shalif amim, occasionally, Hoysan nichneses isha aniyah lebeis hamedesh lekabal tzokah, women would sometimes come into the men's section to collect stuff in, okay? Ol avela lomar kaddish. A woman is an Ovel would come in to say Kaddish. Moshe writes, that was the custom. The woman would come, in those days, the women were in the balcony upstairs, they would come downstairs, and they would come inside to say Kaddish. Okay? If you look back at the other sheet, the supplementary sheet, in Rabbi Rakefet's book about Soloveitchik, the world of Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik, volume 2, page 36, look at the back page there, related by Dr. Joel B. Wolowski in Flatbush. He writes about, this was written in spring 1986. About 15 years ago, the issue of permitting women to recite Kaddish came up in an out-of-town chapter of Yavne. Yavne used to be, if you remember, the Jewish college campus organization, right? So anyway, I asked a board member, who was one of Rabbi J.B. Soloveitchik's students, to put the question to the Rav. He wrote me, I spoke with the Rav about the question he asked concerning a girl saying Kaddish. He told me that he remembers being in Vilna at the Gaon's, well, Gaon was gone already, but it was in Vilna at the Gaon's Kois, which wasn't one of your modern Orthodox schools. And a woman came into the back, there was no Ezra Snoshim, and said, Kaddish after Meirat. I asked him whether it would make a difference if someone was saying it along with her or not. He replied that he could see no objection to either case. An advisory board member subsequently confirmed that this was the Rav's opinion. Recently, I've heard a number of people who recalled similar incidents of women saying Kaddish in pre-war Lithuania. So in some places it was accepted, in other places it wasn't accepted. That's what you see. The Rav's brother, Aaron Soloveitchik, printed a sefer on Hilchos Avelos called Od, a grandson named Yisrael Yosef. He called the sefer Od Yisrael Yosef Nichai. And he writes, he quotes it to the Chuvas Chavas Yor that we mentioned, okay? And he says, the problem is, Nira Achshav, Shekama Anoshim Anoshim, so Lochem Ba'at Shovi Hanoshim, Umos Hanoshim, there's a movement that men and women should be equal, it's even stronger today and in the secular world, okay? And there's a whole movement, and he says, they want aliyahs and everything else. Im Cain, look at him, somewhere around Rose. Im Harabonim Acharedim Yimnu Uishim Elom Akadish. B'Mokom Shiyeshna Efsorot Shaydei Zet Yisraba Ashbal. He said, the women want to say Kaddish, and technically Mutter, we're going to say no to that. He says, so then they're going to go to other Rabbonim, they'll go to other rabbis. He says, Efsor Shaydei Zet Yisraba Ashbal Sarabonim HaShamonim HaReformim. Also, the know about Solomon Kaddish. You have to know who you're dealing with. If it's almost like, okay, I'm going to go to the conservative and reform synagogue say Kaddish. So that's the Baron's concern. You have to look at each side. What's going to be the result? In any event, I do want to mention an important thing that Shechter pointed out, and this would conclude at the very end. Shechter thought the following, based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Shabur. It's in the Nun Hey. When you have a shul, he said, where not like the shul, but when you have the women's section that stays upstairs, or it's in a separate place where there's no direct access. So he says, Al Pidin, that's like two different rooms. So a woman's going to say Kaddish over here, where's the minyan answer? In a shul, such as here, where it's just a thing to move, so it's one room. This is considered luckily one room. So a woman say Kaddish, you have 10 men answering. But the point is that the Shulchan Aruch mentioned, look in 39, when you have a minion, you know this comes up sometimes. Rachel's on a base level. Sometimes they're a base level, so there's a living room, dining room. So five to six people are in this room and four people in the other room. That's a problem. I try to bring everyone into one room. If you have 10 in one room, then you can have as many as you want in the other. They're mitzvah. But if you have to have the 10 in one room, so therefore again, sometimes it comes up in a small apartment, a small house, with a base level, you have to really cramp in. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch said. So Shechter thought that if you're in a shul where you have it's one room like this room we're in now. So the woman can say Kaddish in the same room as the minion answering. But if they're upstairs and in a different place that doesn't have any direct access, that's potentially a problem. I'll just close with a story that I like to. I'm not here at Pasuk and Shaila, okay? In our community, in some schools, the women do say Kaddish. Some have the sort of preference that someone should stay along. The Rav didn't think it should matter. However, I do want to mention, again, we have to think about what the Kaddish is all about. The Kaddish is not the end all. In terms of what you do in memory, God forbid, of a loved one who passed away. In the Sefer Tznuas HaMusar, it's a five-volume work, or Dov Katz on the Gedolei Musar. So the first volume is, or part of the first one is the Rishol Talanta. Rishol Talanta followed the practice, that's the last verse on the extra pages. Rishol Talanta followed the practice I mentioned before, that he only said Kaddish, there's no one else saying Kaddish. Now, based on that, you have rules. Let's say you come to shul, that was, let's say that's the minigun shul. Who gets precedent? So, someone's the yard side, someone's saying for a father, someone's saying for a daughter, whatever. So the story that's recorded here is that Solomon was makbid that two people shouldn't say Kaddish. That was his practice, like I mentioned before. And he came in, and he had yarchat after his father. And when he came into shul, he saw that there was a man there who had lost Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, and he was the yarchat for the daughter. Rishol Talanta said to this man, you can be the chaz, you can say Kaddish. You say the Kaddish. And he realized that this person was going to be upset. So the students asked him, and there's always students there to ask, so the students asked him, but Alpidin, you have Kedimia. The real Kaddish you have to pay, not after the child. So he said, yeah, it's true, but I do have Kedimia for the Kaddish. But I realize that this guy's going to be upset. So the chesed that I did to make another Jew feel good, that's worth more than the Kaddish. Right? He wanted to say Kaddish. I'm doing him a chesed, and he'll feel better. So my father's neshama, or my mother, whoever the yartzeit was for, will be enhanced, or will go to a higher place because I did a chesed, meaning that's not just Kaddish. It's not people over. I'm not denigrating Kaddish, but people overemphasize the importance of Kaddish. First of all, we saw it's an obscure makor to begin with. Okay, how the menahagim developed. But when a person learns, a person gives tzedakah, a person does chasadin, and you know, we give tzedakah. That's yizkor. We give tzedakah in memory of the person. That's yizkor. About kiddush yizkor is a tzedakah, not the you know, not the little tefillah we say. Okay, the idea that good that stands in a shaman good said it's more important than the Kaddish. So a person, you know, again, there are many people who don't want to miss a Kaddish no matter what. I've been called 1 o'clock in the morning. Wife just came in. They think a minion is out because they don't miss a Kaddish. Okay, you know, if you miss a Kaddish, not the end of the world. The main thing is there's one. I think the Ritva's left at Savoah. He said to his children before he died. He said, any day you don't learn a block Gemara, don't say Kaddish me that day. The main thing is to learn the Gemara. The main thing is to learn. The main thing. There are many more things that are important than a Kaddish. So self-kosov, again, we have some issues of women saying Kaddish in shul because of our desire to be hard and fast on menhagim. On the other hand, there are other practices where it was done. Perhaps you have to be concerned, as the Sheshti said, that it should be in the same room. That's a din and minyan, not about Kaddish per se, but a din and minyan. And therefore, again, a person who's not going to be committed to say Kaddish every day or not going to be able to go, there are plenty of other things which, in a certain sense, as we learn from the Surya Sol Salanta, are more important to do that have greater impact on the chesed and stalker and learning. You know, can have a more impact on the Kaddish. As we recall, that the original Kaddish was for the kids who couldn't say, couldn't do Ambriyam, or couldn't do much else. So I want you to bear that in mind. And again, you have the questions, you consult your friendly local rabbi. Have a meaningful fast and a good day.